Hi, hello there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Portland. This email says, Rick, I think Bernie Mac is the janitor who's wise beyond his station in life and has the crucial advice that inspires the team to victory. Just guessing. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. We got Tim Riley coming up in a moment. Scotty J will be here. Jen Lane, top five. All of that. Tom Like is at three. Donna Mike at seven. But now, ladies and gentlemen, from the South, CNN radio correspondent and mellow, laid-back man of the world, Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
Rick Emerson, how are you?
Brother, I'm rolling. You know why? Because my body is full of Claritin today. This is not a lie. This is not my attempt to ham-handedly segue into the story. Sarah and I have been trading. I got the Claritin, and then they just started making these new these allergy eye drops that we got here in the studio that Sarah and I are using. Because man, I thought I outgrew. Or I guess I did outgrow my allergies at one point when I hit my teenage years. But in the last year and a half or so, and especially this year, it just seems like they're out, like, worse than ever, and that they started earlier than they ever have.
They really have, and especially here, too. We're getting the same type thing, and, you know, it's been blowing around today. You know, the snowstorm they had up in the Northeast, that kind of, you know, put a little damper on it for a while, but that'll be out soon, so all sections of the country. So you get it early, we get it early, and I'll tell you, a lot of people really suffer. I get it kind of a little bit early, and then we get the pine pollen. You get that stuff, too?
Hmm. We get that. We get ragweed. That's the thing we've got up here.
Oh, ragweed is the worst.
I mean, right? You know, there's a million other just because of dirt and pollen and whatever, but I grew up in a town, the town I grew up in, which was filled with ragweed. It was almost like it was their number one cash crop or something. You know,
I know.
What are we doing? Well, we're going to go harvest 500, you know, acres of ragweed today. It's just awful. And allergies are so crippling. And people who don't have them, I think, don't take them seriously. I would say it's like asthma. People who don't have it think that you're sort of making it up or that you're exaggerating it. But the reason that it's such a crippling thing is because there's nothing you can do about it, and you, as dumb as this sounds, you don't really appreciate the ability to see and breathe properly until you can do neither without the aid of medication.
Absolutely. And, you know, the over-the-counter stuff has helped, but for some people it doesn't help. So they have to go out and get the stuff that's the heavy-duty stuff you get by prescription. So, you know, it doesn't always work. The Claritin stuff, I know it works for some people, doesn't work for others. Other people, they have that other one, Allegra, that people use. But, you know, you got to do that this time of the year. And then after that, it kind of subsides a little bit. But it really is miserable. Makes you tired, for one thing. Really lethargic, too.
And does it seem like there, and maybe there is something like this, like you ought to be able to just go and get, like, a shot or something. They give you a shot, bam, you're good to go for the next whatever.
Well, there's this woman I talk with just about every year. She's with the Atlanta Allergy Clinic, and you know, and she talks about that. And they say, you know, if things aren't working for you, that's what they advise. Go in there and you get diagnosed and get a shot. A lot of times they'll do, you know, they do that thing where they stick you with all kinds of things.
And I've had that done.
They narrow down what you're allergic to. Now, you know, you could be allergic to a million things. You know, you got dogs around the house, so they're outside, they're in and out. They're going to bring that stuff back inside, too. So, you know, that's not going to help you.
So there is a shot, though, that you can get that'll take care of your allergies for whatever, weeks at a time?
Yeah, and they say eventually if you go on that regimen of shots, you're going to eventually be immune to the allergens that are in the air, and it's gonna help you out.
That's fantastic. I had no idea. I'm going to go do that today.
Yeah, I know. It'll probably cost you an arm and a leg.
That's fine. Dude, I don't care. I will pay. I would pay any price to not have to deal with allergies ever again. I mean, it's just because every year it's the same thing. And the people I know, and I can't even imagine the amount of time and money I've spent, the amount of money I've spent on allergy medication, and the amount of time in my life that I spent pie-eyed and groggy because I filled myself full of Benadryl or something. So, all right.
Yeah, that's the stuff that really gets you, that over-the-counter stuff sometimes.
Science marches forward. Excellent. Well, see, now I do legitimately feel smarter than I did about 5 minutes ago, Ed.
Talking to me,
it's true. No, you have that miraculous effect, my friend. All right, thank you, sir. Ed McCarthy.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, Ed McCarthy in the South. God bless him. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming along. Let's see, what do we got here? Rick, did Scotty get his cologne at the counter at 7-Eleven? You know, those value price colognes that are, they're asking if you got it at convenience. Scotty, did you get your cologne from a from one of those, did the cologne have a sign in front of it, your cologne Cuba, that said, if you like, you'll love? Did it say something?
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. You know what else?
Please, not to be
you're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show again, our PA, Scotty J. All right, are you wearing Cuba gold?
I don't know, but I'm starting to think this is a day of torture.
Now, why would... No, it's a terrible thing to say. Why would you say that, Scotty?
Hey, you get more airtime. How is that torture, Scotty?
And, I don't know, it's a brown-colored cigar, so I think it might be...
Is it a big cigar?
I don't know if it's gold, but it's...
They sell you a big cigar?
A huge cigar.
Really?
Where did you even buy it?
I think I got it... I don't know if it's the actual name of this place, but I think it's like... called Perfumia or something like that at Washington Square. I don't know.
How many different kinds of cologne do you have?
You know, I'm kind of weird that way with the shoes and the clothes and the watches and the cologne. I think I probably have about 5 different colognes.
Well, that's less than I expected. Somehow, yeah. Strangely enough, I expected you to have like 30. I don't know why. That's just what it was.
It does not smell like Febreze. I don't get it.
But maybe not to you. I'm not saying that it's supposed to smell like Febreze. I'm just telling you what it smells like to us. We've had several people who have weighed in on this the throwaway comment when you... This is early in the first hour when you over-answered one of our questions. And I was just asking if you were hungover.
No.
I just said, hey...
No, I feel great.
Oh, stop it. See, you can't... You've already... You can't just take things back and then lie about them later in the show because that's just stupid. So I asked if you were hungover earlier, and you said, I think it's a midlife crisis kind of thing. You just sort of said, like, with no filter on it at all. Like, it was... Like, you didn't even have to stop and think about it. Like, without missing a beat, that was your response. And so people are asking if that's... they're asking, is Scotty J having a midlife crisis? How can we, the audience, help? And by help, we mean ridicule, says James downtown.
I don't think I'm having a midlife crisis. I just have noticed something about the last 6 months. I've
since you turned 40.
Yeah, I've been going out more than when I was 20.
Have there been any other changes?
I don't get it. Any other changes?
I mean, if it's, you know, since you turned 40.
No.
So you don't think it's a midlife thing? You don't think it's a midlife crisis.
It's just a coincidence.
It's just a behavior change that happened since you hit 40.
Maybe it's this show.
Uh-huh.
No, you've been hanging here for longer than...
You were here before you were 40.
That's true.
There should be some... Is there a midlife crisis checklist? Is there some... Please now to be... let me give you the number. It's 503. Maybe we're just seeing him. Maybe I don't know what to look for. And I'm years away, Scotty, so I...
Maybe I should check into the Midlife Crisis Center.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. There probably is some... You do own a huge pickup truck, by the way. You want a massive pickup truck with vanity plates. I will say that. I've seen that out there.
How?
It's in the parking. I've seen you park it out
there.
We've
seen it, Scotty.
I've been thinking, and I know that Dave Zinn had to make you go move it because it was blocking in like 19 different people down there.
Right. That's why I don't bring it down.
What do your vanity plates say? It says DJ or something, or record or something like that?
I'm not going to say.
Well, okay. I understand, I guess, if you don't want to give out your license plates on the air. But you do have a giant pickup truck with vanity plates on it.
Sure.
All right. So...
I would think that's what I think is, yeah, the vanity plates, when you start to care a lot about your appearance, maybe change some things up about yourself.
You are wearing...
It is time for some laser surgery on the crow's feet, I think.
You do own... Have you had any plastic surgery?
No.
You could...
I did the laser surgery on my eyes 7 years ago, and I know you're not an advocate for that. But I'm telling you...
It's not for me.
I can almost see out of my left eye now.
I don't think that counts as a midlife crisis thing, though, because they can't... I think midlife crisis operations, almost exclusively, they have to be sort of external. Like, I had the hair thing, which I would never deny. So, but I think the LASIK is different than that. Let's see, what else?
I think you should do that, really.
Do you have... Is one of your vehicles red?
No.
You do not own a red vehicle?
No.
Do you own a convertible?
I wish. No.
Have you considered going into debt to buy a convertible?
Have I considered that?
Have you
yes.
considered? Okay.
I are have spending, considered that.
Are you spending a lot more time with your guy friends?
I actually want a Mustang convertible, one of the new ones. I think they're kind of good looking.
What color would you get it in?
I always wanted red, but
dude,
kind of since childhood. But my my wife
since
doesn't want
since second childhood.
Uh oh, you're trying to resent her a little bit.
Wait, hold on. So you want this is genius. No. So you want a red Mustang convertible, but you don't have one. Why?
She won't let me have one.
Well, I think we know the answer to that, don't we, Scotty?
But I do wear the pants. Let's keep that straight.
All right. Let's. Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Who's this? Why, hello there.
Hello.
Hi, how can I help you, sir?
I was going to tell you about those allergy medicines. The regimen for the shots, that doesn't work for crap. For years, no people have done it. But that the single shot that works for a few weeks works great. And then you take a couple of nose medicines. Best thing ever. I suffered for years.
Excellent. Oh,
and tell Scotty J, Mustang always has been and always will be a chick's car. All right, later.
Okay, so that must mean the Corvette is the optimum male car.
Are you saying that this is the ringback you're talking about? Is that what
it is?
When I drop
correct.
It, so that's
that is
probably nothing right there?
Right.
Probably nothing and nobody. Right. That's okay. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Marty.
Hi, Marty. How can I help
you? Hey, how you doing? How are you, everybody?
Hey, what's
hello.
Up?
Hello.
Hey, Marty.
Yeah. Yeah, a Mustang is a chick car unless it's
what?
A black hardtop.
I don't get it. Why?
Because it's a convertible.
I don't know that a convertible is always a chick car, but I would say that those... I
love the look of those cars. It reminds me of the exact cars from the 60s.
I had a 88 Feline Mustang. That was a guy car.
Yeah.
In fact, I when people said, she's a beaut, I said, no, he's a beaut, because it was brute. It was brutal. It was a brutal car.
Okay.
But anyway, midlife crisis.
Yes, sir.
38 years old, bought a bright racing orange Corvette, as I have it.
Yes.
And drove around Portland. People gave me the thumbs up, but I knew behind my back they were snickering.
Yeah. Yes, it's true. No, it's true. That's absolutely. And, well, we all do that, right? When you see a guy in some sort of brightly colored convertible and he's got a young blonde girl with him, I mean, unless it's Spokane in which you start to play girlfriend or daughter, you know what that's all about. I mean, everybody knows what that. You know that somewhere there's an embittered ex-wife receiving alimony every 2 weeks.
Right, and but it was a T-top. But the girl that I was seeing then called it the penis car.
No, that's exactly what those are.
And it did have a long front end.
Of course it did. Thank you, sir.
But no. Oh wait.
Yes.
Stool.
Less worse people today.
Marty,
what is today?
The colors are all nutty today. I don't know what that's all about. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Why, hello there. Okay. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I just had a call about Scotty about wearing his pants.
Yes.
At least he's wearing his pants and not a minivan.
That is true. Now, let me ask you this. Do you own a minivan, Scotty?
I already went through that stage.
See, listen to the regret.
Oh,
but the cool part is this.
Now he's moved on.
Now what stage are you in now, Scotty?
The stage I'm in now is cool cars.
Are you feeling a little smothered?
No.
Are you feeling restricted?
No, actually, my marriage is better than ever right now because the kids are getting older, and maybe that's why I've been going out more lately because it's like...
How old are your kids?
13 and soon to be 10.
All right.
So it's like...
Well, that's pretty cool because you go out with your wife, right? Like you did last night?
Yeah, absolutely.
Your kids are practically gone. Practically out of the house.
I even sang a couple songs.
God. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this? Okay. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, I was wondering if Scotty J is going to buy a Harley and plan a motorcycle trip with his
totally. Totally. Do you own a motorcycle?
No. In fact, that's the one thing I can't even really do. I need to learn how to ride a motorcycle.
I
got one in second gear once.
So it's not that you don't want to. It's just that you haven't bothered to yet.
I'm telling you, the road trip on the bikes, go from here to Reno, gamble all weekend, come back, that'd be great. What's wrong with that, though?
So hold on. So we've got red convertible Mustang.
There's nothing wrong with that either. Uh-huh. I think a red convertible... Okay, who agrees with me on this? The Mustang. What do you think? Chick car or what?
Mustang's chick car.
Thank you, sir. I hadn't even really thought about it. All right. Thank you, sir. God bless you.
All right. A red convertible Mustang.
What does your wife want you to buy? What kind of a car does she want you to get?
She wants to get the new GMC Arcadia. Which is a, you know...
I like the barely concealed contempt as you talk about
the
it.
The crossover, you know, it's in between SUV and...
Hi, Rick Emerson Show, hello. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Okay, then.
And we're done. Fantastic. Peace. And we're out.
Is there any way to...
No, they're working on it. Okay. They've got, there's like a little thing they had to buy to hook up to the phone so it'll dump it so that the line drops when there isn't somebody there.
That'll be a big day. Okay, then.
All right. All right. I think that tells us what we need to know for now.
Okay, well, great. At least we know Scotty's marriage is intact. Are you
no, it's great.
Still have a good relationship with your kids?
Oh, when I talk to them, yeah.
And there's no...
And I don't read their books.
On alternate weekends when you go home to see them.
No. It's great.
Pretty soon.
Life's good.
Uh-huh.
Show's almost over. No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. What is the sign of midlife crisis?
When we stay at Daddy's house, he lets us stay up all night. Thank you. All right, we should take a break. It's 503-733-2970. Back after this, Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk to Jim Roop later on, Top 5 and so forth. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. Tom Likas at 3. Twix, Nana, now we'll do the top 5. We'll talk to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Jen Lane will be here. Scotty J. We'll talk more about Listener Party 10. 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. Or X, if you are sort of inclined, which is coming up Thursday, April 19th. Listener Party 10, Thursday, April 19th. We'll talk about that a bit today. Talk about some of the stuff that's going to be going on there, and we're going to come up with a name for it at some point. We've got this, Rick. This is from, I think, health.com. Midlife crisis signs. This is about the... And then we'll get these calls here. It's about Scotty. What are the signs your husband could be going through a midlife crisis? I'll just start here. Sudden interest in and change of appearance. A man whose idea of keeping up with fashion has always been one trip to a chain store once a year will suddenly become fashion conscious and start wearing clothes meant for men half his age.
Uh-oh. Actually, that kind of fits you, too.
It doesn't fit me at all. That was you bastards, and you did that to me against my will 5 years ago.
Okay.
Hair suddenly gets dyed, or the style has changed. Now, that does affect me. That is pertinent to me, yes.
I did just get a haircut.
Or an ancient gym contract is resurrected. He spends a lot of time in front of the mirror. Does Scotty, do you work out? Do you have a gym membership of some kind? If you have the, is this like, do you have a, like a 24-hour fitness or a, like a gym, like a Bally's gym or something you go to, Scotty? Yeah, I was born with this body, he types on the screen. All right.
Oh, man.
Resurrection of youthful behavior. Your husband suddenly shows an interest in contemporary music or goes to places where people younger than himself generally hang out.
Not looking good, Scotty.
Interests that he used to have suddenly become interests again after many years, or old friends that haven't been seen for years suddenly make an appearance. Ah, here we go. And that first, yes, that does sound
all
like you,
Scotty. All of those are him so far.
How about this one? Many middle-aged men who have never mastered the washing machine or the microwave suddenly come up to speed in the latest communication technology, such as SMSs, which is like a text message, or emails. Scotty, didn't you just buy a BlackBerry? What is that, the Blackjack? Bought that last week after seeing it on television and not even knowing what it does? Okay.
Oh, no.
How about this? Change in social patterns. If your husband suddenly starts going out to all kinds of pubs or clubs, or starts having boys' nights out a lot, it's midlife crisis time. How about this? Sudden increase in alcohol consumption. Many young men have heavy drinking habits, and if your husband suddenly starts drinking more than usual, he could be harking back to his youth. Or the increased drinking, especially alone, for hours on end, at Dante's, in a corner, slumped in the darkness, could be a reflection of where he's hanging out and with whom. Sudden impulsive decisions, such as the desire to buy a new young person's automobile. Scotty J., or motorcycle can also indicate midlife crisis. Scotty, you've hit every single one of these. Scotty types on a screen, who is writing this? God. Well done. We'll talk to Tim Riley in mere moments. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. I love he sees all, Scotty. From Los Angeles, CNN radio correspondent James Roop. Hello, sir.
How are you? Good afternoon.
What's up with you, brother man?
Just hanging out, listening to you.
Thank you. Let me ask you this. Mustang, a chick car or not? I'm saying a contemporary Mustang convertible. Chick car, guy car?
Guy car.
You think so? Okay, well, the audience is kind of split on this right now. The audience sort of divided. Now,
wait, what year are you talking about?
Well, I mean, presumably, we're talking about a new Mustang.
No, no. No, I'm talking about the muscle cars of the 60s.
Well, yeah. 68,
69, 67.
Yeah, no, I mean, even I know that.
No, from 84 on, they're feminine.
That's what we're talking about. I'm not saying like a classic Iacocca era Mustang.
No.
I mean,
they got soft in about 84.
That's what I'm saying. So a Mustang, because Scotty, here's the thing, Jim. You might want to be.
You might as well buy a cabriolet. You know,
buy yourself a Camaro.
Yeah.
Use a little sensitivity when speaking to Scotty over the next few weeks. We believe that Scotty has entered a midlife crisis.
Oh my!
As evidenced by his desire to buy a brand new red Mustang convertible, and apparently the only thing holding him back from doing so is that pesky wife of his. So we're just waiting for that shoe to drop. So the
don't get a red one. If you're gonna get one, get a black one.
That was what I said. He was like, well, I really want to get a Mustang, and I said, a convertible? Yes, of course. And I said, a new Mustang? Uh-huh, this year. And I said, what color? And with that, without missing a beat, he goes, well, red. So that's it. So that's where we are with that. And then there was a whole debate in the audience about whether or not the Mustang was with a chick car. But I do think it comes down to what year we're talking about. So you are absolutely right on that. Let me ask you this. Have I missed the boat on this whole Limbaugh Schwarzenegger thing? This whole story already over before I even had a chance to talk
about it? Well, yeah, it really happened yesterday. Limbaugh on his radio show said, you know, Schwarzenegger kind of abandoned the conservative cause, if you will, because he compromises too much with Democrats or liberals, as Limbaugh would call them.
Right.
And Schwarzenegger was on, I guess, the Today Show and said, that's all irrelevant. I don't work, you know, I'm not his servant. I work for the people of California. You have to compromise here. You know, there are too many issues that are issues that you can't use a political agenda on them. You know, but by the same token, Limbaugh saying, yeah, but this whole universal health care and extending health care to illegal immigrants, I mean, that's really sucking up to the liberals,
right,
and kicking your conservative buddies in the butt. And they just kind of went back and forth a little bit about this. And then on his show today, Schwarzenegger called and said, yeah, let's have a couple of cigars. Story's over.
Problem solved. Let's go buy Mustangs together.
Yeah, let's buy red Mustangs. Convertibles, of course.
Problem over. You know, the thing about Schwarzenegger is that
plenty of room in the glove box for makeup.
It's pretty impressive, actually, that Schwarzenegger he shows adaptability in the political arena, which I have to say that I did not, regardless of what one thinks of his ideology or whether he's actually making California a better place or not, he does show pretty remarkable political adaptability and resilience.
Well, you kind of have to here. I mean, unless you're Ronald Reagan and you have that kind of charisma, and I'm not saying Schwarzenegger doesn't have that kind of charisma. He doesn't have that kind of political charisma. Where Ronald Reagan could stick to the Republican values, if you will, and still kind of make the Democrats think he's okay without doing the blatant crossing the aisle kind of compromise, mm-hmm, that Schwarzenegger's doing. But Schwarzenegger's trying, and because it's a different, I mean, 20 years ago, California was different. And this is the kind of state where it's not Ohio, it's not Arkansas, it's not Florida, it's not anywhere else. I mean, this is a very strange place, and you kind of have to be able to walk that line. And the Schwarzenegger is, I think, doing it pretty well.
He really is impressive. It's either him or it's the people around him. One of the two.
Well, he surrounded himself with like-minded people, and that kind of helps. You know, he was real smart early on in getting the best business people he could in his cabinet,
right,
in his corner, because while he's a great businessman, he's never run a state. You know?
Right.
And so, I mean, he can make movie deals and buy real estate and open restaurants and all that crap. But, man, you're talking about dealing with millions of lives now. And so he surrounded himself with real good people about that, and now he sort of has control over it.
Hey, just as a side note, this is the Phil Spector thing. This probably is evidence, this is a microcosm of how the whole thing is going to go, is that the initial phase of jury selection has ended for the Phil Spector murder trial. 200 prospects ordered to return next month for individual questioning. Well, they've been at it for 2 days. They're taking the rest of the
muscle. It's going to take that long for both sides to read those 18-page. I mean, you got 200 people filling out 18-page jury questionnaires, especially the prosecution. They're going to want to really scrutinize each of those jurors so that when they come back to court, they'll have questions for them and decide whether to excuse them. You know, they all have that right to excuse X amount of jurors just for the heck of it. And so it's going to take a while to pour over those questionnaires.
You know, the time it's going to take them to either convict him or not, you know, he could... I don't know, there's some joke here. I was going to make some joke about blah, 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 but I'm just... And it all fell apart. In the time it takes Phil Spector to be convicted or acquitted, he could... And then insert something really funny and relevant here. I'm just going to reprise my comment that I made a few weeks ago about that. Really, when I decide to snap and shoot somebody in the head, allegedly, I'm doing it in California because I'll be dead. Yeah. I'll be in the ground 100 years before they do it. Your kid will be covering the Phil Spector car.
Post yourself at, you know, $1 million bail. You only got to post 10% of that. You know, just give them your mortgage. Here you go. McCarter owes my house. And then you're out and you're free and clear. You know, you just get a good lawyer with a bunch of delays, and, you know, you're in business.
Yeah, good God Almighty. All right, my brother, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. We will have speaks with you soon.
Thank you, my friend.
There you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Fantastic. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please make way for your president, prophet, seer, and revelator?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Okay, so it's official DNA samples from Anna Nicole's baby and Larry Burkhead are in a bag. And apparently, let's see, they were both taken to Bahama doctor's office this morning, and they have been taken to, not the Cleveland Clinic, but the Columbus, Ohio Clinic. And then they're going to be sent back to the Bahamas in 4 days.
So we don't know the results. I mean, we do know the results, but I mean, the DNA has been taken.
Yes.
All right, fantastic.
Paul McCartney is the first item signed to Starbucks' new record label. The world's largest coffee retailer announced earlier this month it was partnering with Concord Music Group to launch the Los Angeles-based Here Music label. I'm sure we're all excited about that.
Yes, seriously. Can you imagine, if we were a lesser talk show, I could wring 40 minutes out of that. And it would just be a lot of, who would be signed to the Starbucks record label? Go, our phone number is. And then I would just take 38 minutes worth of calls on who ought to be signed to the Starbucks record label, interspersed with stop sets, and then we'd be done. But Paul McCartney does seem like a perfect first choice, doesn't he? Paul McCartney and James Taylor and Jimmy Buffett. Those are the three guys. Paul McCartney, James Taylor, Jimmy Buffett. There you sign those three guys to the Starbucks record label. You're done. Done. This email says, Rick, I'm surprised you didn't see Scotty J's midlife crisis, which we now all have just agreed is happening, coming a long time ago. After all, one of the indications is making somewhat rash decisions. Let's think about it. Didn't Scotty J leave a rather prosperous career in real estate to go play with the kids on the radio as an intern for no pay and now little pay? Scotty J has been a cautionary tale since the moment he started on your show, Rick. You know it to be true. I do. Well spotted, sir. All right, here's Tim Riley.
A man dressed in a World War II military uniform has attacked two employees at the Evergreen Aviation Museum in McMinnville. Gerald Leary, a transient, broke into the rear of the building and smashed a glass panel. He then removed the coat, hat, and pants from a World War II uniform and put them on. He was inside when the operations manager, Phil Jager, and cafe manager, Cheryl McKay, arrived at work. Apparently, a lady punched the Jager fellow several times and then bit McKay. A lot of biting going on everywhere.
It's a bite fest today.
I guess so. Another employee recorded hospitalization. He also got into one of the museum's airplanes, but didn't get to fly it. He was sent to jail. Women's World News for and about the fairer sex. Modern Bride magazine is on the hunt for the modern bride of the year. The winner of the National Bride-to-Be Search will be sent on a dream trip to New York City and featured in an upcoming magazine. The editor-in-chief, Antonio Vandermeer, shares the qualities the women, the winning women must have.
Someone who is confident and who has personality and charm and a sense of fun. We want someone who really, her approach to her weddings and to her relationship and to herself is truly modern.
Antonio Vandermeer, describe what a modern bride is supposed to be.
What I say when I mean a modern bride is a girl who's not afraid to be a little bit independent, to do things differently if that's, you know, the way that she wants things done, to break some rules if she needs to just really be herself.
First of all, there's no way I could turn my headphones low enough to get rid of her voice. It was still there. No, I kept turning it down, and her voice, Antonio Vandermeer's voice, kept cutting into my brain like an iron saw. Secondly, yes, there's no bigger way, no more pronounced way to register your independence than to subscribe to Modern Bride magazine. Why would you? I hate
who
to
would subscribe to such a.
I was just going to say
Modern Bride.
I hate to make this comparison, but subscribing to Modern Bride does in a horrible way. It seems like that abortion magazine they were talking about last week. How many issues of any such magazine could you really use? What is there to be covered?
Should you subscribe to Modern Bride before you subscribe to the abortion magazine? What order should this be done in?
Just
ask me. I have a sister's plane to run over what my toilet seat?
I don't really know. Let's talk to Todd. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Rick, how you doing, my man?
Todd, what's up?
You guys are great. Look, I got to give Scotty a break. I mean, he may or may not be having a midlife crisis. I probably am. But let me tell you, I drive a 2006 Mustang GT. It is not a chick car unless you're talking about all the chicks that notice me when I'm driving a car. Okay, this thing is fast. This thing is custom leather. It's got surround sound shaker 1000 system. This thing it's got 300 horsepower, but it feels like way more. When I step on this thing, it flies. And I paid it off, so I'm going to get a Roush supercharger on it, which is supposed to kick it up to about 435 horsepower, which is almost comparable with a Cobra. This is no, and now, given those 80s Mustangs, those suck. Those were chick cars. They, you know, the horses weren't galloping. They were bad. But the new one is that look like the 60s muscle car. This is a muscle car. This is no chick car. Not a convertible, I don't know. I like the hard top. You know, you really want to go crazy, get the Cobra, but I'm telling you, you get a GT and then you supercharge it. This thing flies. This is no chick car.
I will say, and again, I don't know, not like I'm a huge car guy. I will say that it is the red and the convertible together that really made it sound like a chick car.
Yeah, that might be a little bit on that side. I mean, I've got the Legend Lime, but, you know, if you get a black one or something, or the Legend Lime, I don't even think they make those anymore, but, you know, you get a cool color. Let me tell you, man, this thing looks like the old Steve McQueen kind of Mustang. It's not that 80s, you know, white trash smoking chip kind of car. And speaking of white trash, let me tell you, Corvettes are white trash with money.
No,
I'm sorry.
Totally. The Corvettes.
I mean, that's me. I mean, if you got real money, okay, you get a Countach, you get a Ferrari, you get one of those roadsters, you know, you do something classic. To me, Corvettes are some guy with reflector glasses and one of those bad windbreakers that say Corvettes on him, you know, and a gut and like a handlebar mustache and, you know, no, man, don't
totally.
Get it.
And his sunglasses have the, like, lanyard, you know,
exactly.
So he can hang them
exactly.
Around his. Yeah, totally. No, I'm with
you. And they always have some wife that's had, like, way too much surgery but still has that country western hair, you know. That's Corvette. No, the new Mustang is phenomenal. Let me tell you, phenomenal.
Can I just tell you what was phenomenal, sir? This call. Your call, front to me. You opened strong, you maintained, you finished on and up. Well done,
Rick,
sir.
You and I are a similar. We have spoken a few times over the years about little key issues like how much dogs are cooler than cats, about how all chicks named Heather are always like have hippie parents, they're really hot and sexy or something. You and I have connected over the years, and we will continue to connect. I got to say, Scotty, man, if you want to get a muscle car, get the Mustang. I don't know about the convertible, but, you know, it's an awesome car, and your wife will dig it once she's in it.
I don't know if the wife's ever going to get a chance to be in the Mustang, but that's just our speculation.
Well, let me tell you something. The automatic, believe it or not, at least they told me this, I've heard that it's actually faster than a stick in a controlled course with a trained race car driver. So if his wife doesn't want a stick, It doesn't matter. Get the automatic. It hauls ass.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Todd.
You got it.
There you go. That was a fantastic call. Front to back. Todd, there you go. That was genius. the best thing about that call was the look on Sarah's face when he kicks out the, unless you're talking about all the chicks that are looking at me.
That was awesome.
Genius. Rick, I think we should all take up a collection to buy Scotty J a Miata and a pair of boobs, Steve. Here's Tim Riley.
Our repeated use of products containing lavender oil or tree tea may spur breast growth in boys.
Now,
the New England Journal of Medicine.
What kind of products contain lavender oil, Tim?
I don't know. Let's see. Maybe Scotty would know. This report raises an issue of concern since lavender and tea oil are sold over the counter in their pure form and are presently... Well, they're finding an increased number of commercial products. So they're powdered shampoos, hair gels, soap, body lotions. We want to encourage doctors who may be seeing patients with breasts to tell their patients about this.
Wait, hold on a minute. What are those? I do believe that Scotty's Cuba Gold cologne comes packed with lavender oil. So, Scotty, you may want to keep an eye on your bosoms.
Uh-oh. Is he going to get man boobs?
Yes. He may already have... He doesn't wear a lot of form-fitting clothing, so it's
but
hard to tell.
No, he wears his little mesh shirts.
Mesh shirts. Why do they even make those? Did you ever see clothing like that and you wonder why it is that they even... It's not like, I mean, leave alone why would someone buy it and wear it. Why would that clothing exist? Like, who decided that there was a real pressing need? It's a good breather for sweat. I know, Scotty. I'm just saying. All right, whatever. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, in the Oregon legislature today, they're trying to get rid of shopping carts. A bill would seek to rid stray shopping carts from the landscape. Grocers in Salem and Portland say 3,500 shopping carts are stolen every week. Many are returned. It's like chasing wild steers. When you find them, you put them on the trailer and bring them back to the ranch, says someone who goes out and finds them.
And someone who has a sadder life than any of us could possibly imagine.
However, there are pro-shopping cart people, including advocates for the homeless. A shopping cart to a homeless person is like a Cadillac, said the executive director of the National Coalition of the Homeless. It's really helpful when you find one on the street. Abandoned shopping carts have also been pondered by artists.
This email says, Rick, I'm turning 40 this summer and I'll be throwing a gigantic party for myself. I've decided to throw myself in order to trump those who might want to throw a predictable surprise party for my 40th birthday. In order to achieve my vision of the ultimate 40th birthday party, I'm calling on the Rick Emerson Show to help me out. Not going to happen. I need two or three really hot 20-something-year-old females to escort me when I make not... No, in no way is this going to happen. Like, if I had the power just to conjure up hot 20-year-old chicks, I would send them your way. I mean, whoever you... Mike, God bless you, but no. He says, I need a girl on each arm and one behind the wheel. The hot females in question will only be obligated to escort me into the party. After that, they're free to leave. That is mighty white of you. Also, I'm not married, so the girls will not be subjected to a bitter wife's scorn. Let's just say I'm going to meet my midlife crisis head on. Not like Scotty J, who's conflicted and weak. Not like Scotty J, who he says, who's conflicted and weak. Can you help a brother out? The party's happening July. P.S. Can you make Scotty DJ my party for free? Yeah, I can probably do that. Listener Party 10, Scotty's midlife crisis. Let's see what else do we have here.
Have we gone too far? Are we taking Scotty? Are we destroying Scotty J's life for no reason?
No, we're just observing the destruction that is already happening. That was happening probably before we ever came along.
Maybe we should be pointing it out.
Because
I've met Mrs. James. She seems very nice.
Mrs. All the more reason why she should have her eyes open about the reality. And look, if everything is fine, then everything is fine. If not, better to be aware of one's circumstances and surroundings. This email says about Scotty's midlife crisis. Oh, this is the Wikipedia Understanding the Midlife Crisis entry. The period between the ages 35 and 45 is a time of crisis for many men, a time when feelings of frustration and personal inadequacy may surface, and strains in marriage may be felt. The midlife crisis is a stage when many men are plagued by feelings that their life has no meaning and that their physical and mental powers are spent. Scotty, by the way, tomorrow you're going to be facing off against a fourth grader in a spelling bee. This time of apparent crisis can also be seen as a creative challenge, as a stimulus for deeper understanding and growth. I swear to God, this is how it ends. It can be a time of coming to terms with yourself, understanding more about yourself, and a time for taking new directions. It's 503-733.
You think Scotty wants to take a new direction?
I think Scotty wants someone to help him find his new direction.
Okay. Maybe he got lost somewhere along the way.
Brad, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Rick.
Hey.
Yeah. Hey, earlier you were on your show, you were talking about a relationship between the Green Hornet and the Lone Ranger, and I think I heard you say that the Green Hornet was the Lone Ranger's uncle.
The Lone Ranger is the Green Hornet's uncle.
Okay, yeah, the Lone Ranger would be the Green Hornet's uncle. Yeah, because, I mean, he lived in the 1800s, and the Green Hornet was, like, in the 40s. But I don't know that that was ever actually written anywhere, because they're created by two different writers, so I think that's kind of an urban legend, only because the Green Hornet's car was Black Beauty, and then the Lone Ranger, you know, had the horse Silver.
We've spent, I believe, an inordinate amount of time on the subject. I don't know that we've ever come up with a definitive answer. At some point, some geek fanboy will find out the definitive answer and let us know. But you're right, it may just be one of those old wives' tales, sir.
I think it is, because I say that, I mean, they're certainly not written, you know, by the same author, and so I don't think anything was ever written about them being, you know, any relationship between the two.
And now it's going to plague us until we can find out once and for all, my friend.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. Don't take it personally. Thank you, Brad.
All right. Have a good day. Bye. Right,
you as well. That's Brad. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
I just had some useless information about shopping carts for you.
Okay.
I had a cousin actually lived over the Netherlands for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, the stray shopping carts and everything. They don't have those on the road. Do you want to know why?
They don't have shopping carts. Is this a joke?
No, for real.
Okay, they don't have shopping carts in the Netherlands. Why?
No, they don't have them on the road. See, when you go to the store,
uh-huh.
You have to pay 50 cents to get a shopping cart.
Yes.
And then when you return, you get it back.
Oh, I see. And so that's to keep, it's sort of like a token on the bathroom just to keep the homeless people from absconding with them all.
Right. So they don't even have the cart collectors out in the parking lot. You take it back to the store and you get your money back.
Interesting.
Or you leave it in the parking lot and someone else gets it. And the store just keeps your money.
Excellent. Cool. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, there you go. Rick, this email says, Scotty is two steps away from walking around in capri pants, putting his hair up in a scrunchie, and spending quiet nights at home watching Lifetime and sipping Zima. Beware the day when he comes to work, eyes swimming with barely concealed tears, and bemoans the fact that no one understands the understated glory of Mystic Pizza. That day is coming for Scotty J. Oh, yes. That day is coming. All right. What is it with you?
I just feel bad.
Look on your face.
Because I know, I feel like we're too close to the truth. Like, you know, because these things are funny, but I feel like...
These things are hilarious. They're not just funny, Sarah.
I don't know.
Do you feel that the Rick Emerson Show has gone too far?
I feel a little guilty.
What do you feel guilty about specifically?
That we're totally poking at Scotty and, like, questioning him about his life and about his personal, you know, his personal life.
You don't have any problem with the fact that we're making him do a spelling bee against a fourth grader tomorrow.
No, I don't have any problem with that.
Now, do you feel that that there is a midlife crisis and therefore it's wrong of us to make fun?
Kind of.
You must, or you wouldn't feel bad.
I know, I kind of think that it's real. But what if, you know, what if his...
Yes?
What if his life totally implodes? What if...
I don't know.
I don't want to be responsible for something bad happening.
We would not be. We should make him sign a disclaimer. Let's have Susan whip up something that he can initial. I wouldn't worry about that. Don't you worry your pretty little head, Sarah. Don't you worry.
Okay.
Let's do one more from the Ministry of Truth here, and then we'll. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to panic you, Tim. And then we'll take a break. Well.
That's just a little. I didn't know you were coming back to me.
No, I'm sorry. We've gotten so. Look, every time you know I love the audience, but every time we try to get a momentum going on the show today, someone calls about the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet. So, all right, let's do one more here, and then we'll break.
Keggers beware! The Iowa House has its eyes on those who rent beer kegs. The Iowa Lower Chamber passed a bill that would force those who sell the beer kegs to keep records on those who buy them. Almost 30 of the state's 99 counties requiring a regulation of keg sales. If the measure becomes a law, it would substitute local options to oversee the kegs. So if you buy one, well, you've got to fill out some paperwork from now on.
In Iowa.
This is where?
Iowa.
Okay, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. I'm glad we went back for that. It's 503-733-2970. We'll come back after this. We will revisit the Ministry of Truth. We'll have the top 7. We'll talk more about Listener Party 10 coming up inside the next hour. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.